It's good to be with you this morning. Appreciate you already and have just barely begun to meet you because you've prayed for us. And we thank you for those prayers. Oftentimes the road to healing is long. In case somebody's here that doesn't know, my wife and I were in a head-on collision July the 4th, and she ended up very badly hurt and all, and she is doing great, and I'm doing great as well. This morning I want to read from Acts chapter 4, verse 31 is where we'll begin. And the scripture says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were shaken, where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." I entitled the message this morning, "What If? Why Not?" We come to a closing of the year. That's always an interesting thing. You find more calendars stuck out in December and early January than any other time in the stores when you go. Once in a while, you go a place and for some reason, you need a new calendar. But they're very hard to find oftentimes. But we live in a changing world, and we're coming to the closing of the old year, anticipating what's ahead. But as we think about this past year, we have to think about the war in Afghanistan. You know, I remember when in World War II, the Germans and the Japanese wore different uniforms than the Americans, so you could identify them. But beginning, and that happened in Korea as well, but beginning in Vietnam, the enemy, you couldn't tell from a normal citizen, the soldiers. Only if they carried some kind of a weapon. That makes a difference. And that's going on in Afghanistan. So often we read or hear about some of our soldiers being killed. We have a man in our church that's ex-military. And he really keeps us posted about what's taking place around the world with military might and all. But then we have Iran and their desire for an atomic bomb. Now, I don't think they'd hesitate to use one on America if they could, but they certainly want to just obliterate Israel. But let me tell you something. That's just not going to happen, because Israel is still God's chosen people. He's going to protect them. He's going to take care of them some way or another. But we also have North Korea. Just recently, they put a satellite in orbit. And the report was that from that satellite, the rocket that they used, they can use that same kind of rocket and hit the west coast of the United States of America. I don't think that's going to happen either, because I think we've got material that would take that thing out of the air before it got to America. But we don't know. But also, we have lots of terrorism going on still. Some of them are from out of other countries, and they'd like to get in and do great damage. We have some of them in America who wouldn't hesitate to do some things if they thought they could. So we never know. All of this is stuff there. And then we've been plagued by disease. Now, there's no great epidemics that spread across the world unless it's the flu. But we still have lots of disease. We have cancer with us and so many other things. And that's there with us. The economy, kind of like you try to balance it out on the scales and you drop what you want away and balance out on the scales a little hard and it just seesaws it up and down. Well, but it shows some signs of recovery. For you, it may have been a very difficult year. But guess what? Tomorrow night at 12 o'clock in the night, that's all history. We have a new year. So what is before us? I think there's two words to think about the new year. What if? What if? Now, these words might make you tremble or might make you laugh. I know many times I've said, what if is ancient history. But what if in this new year? Well, let's make those words words of adventure and faith. What if in the beginning of the new year, two things that have already happened once would happen again? At Pentecost, you remember the Holy Spirit came in awesome power. And that day, 3,000 souls were saved. In Acts 4, it started another with multitudes of people being converted. Peter speaks to the Sanhedrin boldly. The magistrates forbid them to speak in the name of Jesus. But what do? They just get together and pray for the boldness of God to be upon them that they might preach and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. What if in the new beginnings for you, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Paul and Silas, you remember, had been beaten and put in jail. Paul had rebuked a little girl that was a fortune teller for profit and all, and she was telling everything that was going on and so forth, and Paul commanded the spirit to come out of her, and so they grabbed them and beat them and put them in stocks, and there they were. But that night, Paul and Silas did the courageous thing. They sang and prayed. I wonder what they sang. You know, they might have sung something like Amazing Grace. They might have sung a praise hymn to the glory of God. Well, it was something different taking place. And so the jail got quiet. The prison got quiet. And people were listening. You know, when people are in prison, anything that might be constructive, at least, is something they want to listen to. And so they were listening. And they prayed. And they sang. And all of a sudden, the shackles fell off. The doors swung open. You see, the jailer had gone to sleep. And I just imagine this jailer as he takes the sword and he's ready to kill himself. Now, if he's going to kill himself with the sword, what's the best way for him to do that? Hold that sword up close to his chest and run hard into the wall and drive it through him. Paul says, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Now, folks, think about that. Here's a prison full of people locked up. They were prisoners of the Roman government. Just like that, they became the prisoners of the Holy Spirit. All of their doors were open. They could have got up and walked out. Their shackles had fallen off of them. But no, they were right there. They became the prisoners of the Holy Spirit of God. And the jailer rushes in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved in all of your household. Beloved, what if this year this would take place in your homes and your families? It is the year to confess your sins and to rededicate your life. You know, some of us are here this morning that have been Christians for a long time. I was saved when I was 12 years old. Sometime earlier, about 8, I think I was, my twin brother and I went forward. Now, you got to know the story behind that. My mother thought we twins had to do everything alike. You know, we were twins, you know, like robots made alike, and you just program one of them and you got both of them programmed. If my mother were alive and she gave me a shirt for Christmas, I just know my twin brother got one just exactly like that. Now, we might have to go out and buy some pants to wear it with it because we didn't have anything else. That didn't make any difference. She saw them, liked them, she'd send it to us. Mother's with the Lord right now, and she doesn't have to worry about that. But we've been a Christian a long time. But you know what? If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we got saved and the Lord cleansed us and washed us and we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you know, we sin. We had a lady that attended our church when I was pastor at First Baptist Church in Stratford, Oklahoma. And boy, the congregation just got so excited about this lady. She had such a beautiful voice. And they said, "Preacher, are you going to go see her? Are you going to go see this friend?" I said, "Sure I am." Margaret and I drove out and found their house and went up and knocked on the door. And they received us graciously. And they invited us into their living room and they sat down. And all of a sudden, part of them disappeared. And they came back, and the oldest son had his Bible and his mother's Bible, and somebody brought Dad his Bible, and they were just ready. They were ready for this preacher. He's going to take them on. And the mother said, "Well, you know, we don't believe that after you've been saved, you ever have to ask God for forgiveness." And I looked at that lady, and I said, "Ma'am, you'd be most unhappy if you joined my church." I said, "Because I believe that you still have to ask forgiveness. I believe the Bible teaches it." And she said, "Well, we don't." And I said, "Let us pray for you and we'll go and leave you alone." Okay? So we prayed for him and was gone. You know why our people got excited about this lady? She had been trained in the opera. And she had a beautiful, strong voice. And they could just think about what was going to take place. They wanted to know, "Did you go visit them?" "Yes." "They're going to come." I said, "I don't think so. I advised them not to." "What?" And I said, "Because they don't believe you ever have to be forgiven again once you've been saved. The scripture says, confess your sins and rededicate your life to the Lord." You know, some people along the way just really left their first love. Do you know there are more people who win somebody to Christ in the first few weeks after they've been saved than at any other time in their life? Romans says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember where you've fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." But what if this morning, this year, would become a year instead of always looking back and thinking about what's happened? Remember, that's all ancient history. What's ahead of us? That we look up to Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who by for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look up. Look up to Jesus. Lift up your heads. Look ahead. What's there and all. But what if this year, your prayers are answered? Nearly everybody in this room has offered prayer that you don't think has ever been answered. Your pastor mentioned that in his prayer. Scripture says, and when they were assembled they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What if in this place you would come together and you prayed and the place was shaken? Now, beloved, you got to get with God and really get to praying, because that's deep kind of prayers. That's prayers where you reach down into the very depth of your soul and lift out all of that stuff that's there and make it right with God. What if this year your children get right with God? Your adult children. We have a man in our church. Just amazes me all the time. And he's got three children or in-law that don't ever come to church. Seldom come. The oldest son, I've been there 7 years. The oldest son has been there one time on a Father's Day just to make his dad happy. You know, what if God would do a work? Now, all of these people profess to be Christians. They're all members of our church. But what if they'd really get right with God? What if some people in your home, in your family, what if it's your children living there, really got right with God? Some of you may have a spouse that doesn't know Jesus Christ. What if this year that spouse got right with God? Margaret's dad was not a professing Christian when we married. Didn't make that professing faith until after we'd been married a little while. One day, Mom and Dad were at our house, and Mom said, I don't know how that conversation got up, and she said that. But anyway, what she said was, I think if I had it to do over again, I'd spend more time with Dad and not run off to church all the time. And I looked at her, and she couldn't see Dad. And he was just grinning. And I looked at her and I said, Mom, no, you wouldn't. Because if you hadn't been faithful to the Lord and His house and His worship, you'd have never won him to faith and trust in Christ. And my father-in-law, with a big smile on his face, was shaking. You know, oh, bless God, he got saved because of a faithful wife. Maybe this year, your spouse would come to know the Lord. What if this year, in your own heart and life, you conquered a negative attitude? Now, a lot of people are real positive, but some of them are real negative. We went to Perryton, Texas, to start a new church. On the mission committee was a vice president of a bank. And he was so negative. You know, I mean, just, again, almost everything. The committee just sort of had to drag him along to get things going. One day somebody said, you know, he was born in the objective case in a kickety mood. Well, yeah, you understood that real quick. What if your negative attitude, maybe it's not serious, but sometimes you just kind of kick and rebel. What if that got changed to a positive attitude for the glory of God? What if this year you got your bills paid? What if this year God restores your health? Well, there are a lot of people out there. If you don't think there are a lot of people out there, you go down here to Mayo's and walk up and down the hall. There are a lot of people that you'd find that would be thrilled to death if their health got restored this year. Hey, what if your marriage got restored? But this morning, what if in the year, this new year, this church had a revival? My church had a revival. The scripture says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boy, wouldn't that be something if everybody in the church, you know, Monday night, we were here, sitting right over here. And I looked around, told my wife this morning, the thing I didn't like, I always sit on the platform. And I said, you don't get to see the people until you get up here. And you know what I did when I first got up here? I took a quick gander at the congregation and all. But what if all of us were filled with the Holy Spirit of God? There just might be revival. But do you know that word revival is one of the most misused words that we have in the church? See, you see, most people think that when they say revival, the connotation that they get is a harvest of souls to the kingdom. When I went to the Southside Baptist Church in Wichita Falls in 1973, the thing I heard over and over and over, we had had some time ago a revival meeting and 40 people made a profession of faith. I heard that and I heard that. And we had a man talking about there were 40 of us that got saved. And I looked at him and I said, friend, I'd like to know something. How many of the 40 that got saved back then are still active in the church today? One. And that was him. He was the one. Do you know, I never heard again that we had 40 saved. You know, it's not, revival is not getting new souls converted into the kingdom of God. But revival is when the church, when the believers really get revived again. The scripture says in Revelation, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. How many of you don't love the Lord today like you did when you got saved? How exciting it was for you at that time. When we have revival, we put the world gets into the church so much. So many things are shadows of the world. But when revival, real revival came, revival when the whole church was shaken and all were filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to throw the world out of the church. And then God's going to put us into the world with boldness to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Revival could make a difference this year of forgiveness. Each one of us would seek forgiveness of God and have Him to minister into our hearts and our lives with His great honor and great love for us. All things in our life would be different. We would find those things that those people that we've offended, we've hurt their feelings, when we've just been downright mean to some of them, and we'd seek their forgiveness. We would find those who have offended us and forgive them and go make things right with them. What if revival would really come to our church? We'd forgive ourselves of a lot of things. We had a lady in one church that came so often while I was her pastor, talking to me, and she was talking to me about the same thing, but she would never, ever say what was burdening her. She had a guilty conscience, and she couldn't forgive herself. She says, I know the Lord is for. I said, forgive yourself. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. And I said to her one day, I said, you know what? You hang the old razor strap that I used to get a whipping with up in a door, over the door, and you get back and you run into it, hoping that maybe sometime you'd get enough licks from that old razor strap hanging there to make you feel like you could forgive yourself now. Beloved, it doesn't work that way. We need to forgive ourselves in Christ Jesus because He has forgiven us. Revival would make this a year of sharing. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did any say, we have these things that which he possessed. They held everything in common. Revival would make this a year of reconciliation when we get things right and we come together. And all revival in this year would cause all kinds of barriers to fall. What if this year is a year of evangelism? And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. With great power, the apostles gave witness. Beloved, with great power, you and I, as disciples, we're not apostles, but we are disciples. We would go out and tell people about the things of the Lord. The other night, my wife handed me our devotional book that we read our daily devotions out of. And she said, here, hon, read this. And it was in the section about our Southern Baptist missionaries. And a woman was writing a book, a report of some kind, and she had gone to a certain place to worship, to study, and had a missionary there, and they ate at a certain restaurant, eatery, and all. And one day, while they were in there eating, two of the waiters, matter of fact, came up to her and said, why is it that you're so kind and kind of loving to us, and everybody else is crabby? And she began to tell them. And their English was broken, and she said she knew none of their language. But there was the missionary, and together they told these two men, and immediately, right there, right then, they were saved and wanted to be baptized. One of them went and got another person and brought him and told him what has taken place. And he got saved, and he wanted to be baptized. And Sunday, the three of them held church in the eatery. Oh, see, that's when the first love is alive in our heart and our life. I believe one of the greatest needs for our churches today is not more money. We could use that. All of them could. Be great to have more people. The greatest need is that the people we have would become witnesses of the Lord. And power, Holy Spirit power filled. Dr. Jack Hiles, pastors in the Midwest, a great large church, he said on one occasion, it takes you 3 hours to get ready to witness to someone, then get alone with God and spend those 3 hours. And when you're done, don't waste time going to the person you've been praying for and about. How long has it been since you made an effort to win a soul to Christ. Well, it's too long. See, I didn't give you time to think about it. Because we ought to always be alert to the opportunity that we have to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. This year, a personal witnessing and soul winning. Acts 8:4 says that the church was scattered because of the persecution. And those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the gospel. And people were being saved. The disciples stayed in Jerusalem, but the people got out of it and went other places. Wherever they went, wherever we go, we can tell the story. Consider two more words to the title. Why not? What if? But why not? You see, with God, nothing is impossible. All of these good things can happen in your life. Why not be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why not return to the first love with forgiveness and reconciliation with God and with others? Why not make it a habit of looking for people to witness to? Why not, when your prayers are answered, you rejoice that your children, your spouse, your negative attitude, your better health, your better marriage have all come about in this year? Why not see our churches filled with the Spirit? Why not real revival come with spiritual awakening? Now, beloved, when we have revival, we need to have spiritual awakening. Because when we have revival, we should be going out and winning people and bringing them to the church and seeing them get saved and baptized into the church. But beloved, they need to know what the church is all about. That's why we have Sunday school. Now, if in your Sunday school class you talk about the Friday night football game, shame on you. If in your Sunday school class you all sharpen your teeth to talk about so-and-so because of what she did or he did, shame on you. Beloved, you're in Sunday school to talk about Jesus and the Word of God. Now, when I said that at home, I got some amens. You see, beloved, we need a spiritual awakening. We in the church need to be awakened more to the Word and the Spirit of God. We need to teach these others, these new ones, the Word of God. Would you this morning let faith remove all of the limitations and claim all that God wants to give you this year and do it now? Claim it. You don't know what, may not know what it is. You may have to wait till December the 30th, 2013 to find out all of what God wanted, but you can claim it today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and the Word of God has spoken to your heart. You know you need to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. There's no better time to do it. The Scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. All. Who is all? What does that mean? As a little fellow said one day, he said, that's everybody. He is exactly right. That's everybody. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God gave His love to us. He demonstrated His love for us by dying on the cross while we were still sinners. If all the calendars were right and we could go back, and if we could say in 33 A.D., Jesus thought about me and you by name, as he died on the cross. Doesn't that mean something to you? It does to me. And remember, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. As I was studying yesterday some, and again this morning, I was thinking about this point right here. If we had $100 billion, and I don't have any idea what that would be. A lot of money. You could not buy a glimpse of glory with it, let alone salvation. If you had the greatest ingenuity about you of doing things, you could do nothing that would guarantee you salvation. The only thing you can do to get salvation is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." Maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe your membership is somewhere else and it needs to be here. You live here, you can't go anywhere. Or maybe it's in another church in town and you don't go there and you won't go there. Move it today for the glory of God. God speaks to you in some other way. I pray for you that right now God would speak to your heart. And whatever He's saying to you, you'd make that decision for Him. Would you decide for Christ while I pray for us? Heavenly Father, I pray that in these moments, Your Holy Spirit would just speak to all of us with such authority and such power that whatever it is You want of each one of us, we would be willing to say to You today, "Thy will be done in my heart and my life." Oh God, right now, cause us to yield to You, to share it with the rest of the congregation and the people, and we can all rejoice in decisions made for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand together and as we sing, You'd Come, Come Right Now.